This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Welcome to the weekend. And with me right now is a co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders. He works through the portal called Ripple Connects. Ripple Connects is really a wonderful site if you've never been there. If you'd like to talk to Joe McKenzie directly, I'll give you his number, 763-438-1621. I'll say it again, 763-438-1621. And we bid a hearty welcome and good morning to Joe McKenzie. How are you, sir?
Good, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. We're into the fourth quarter of this year. And you were saying earlier that now is the time to prepare for the strongest hiring months just ahead. I didn't realize that there was a specific hiring season, so to speak, Joe McKenzie.
Well, there is. And unless you're in that hiring capacity, I don't think many people go walk through life going, okay, January, February, which are traditionally the best months to get hired, and the numbers, the data supports that, we don't think about that. And so as a service to our listeners and anybody that hears our voices today, they should take away that January and February are traditionally over the years, the months that most hiring takes place because of a lot of different reasons, okay? You know, with budgets and new product lines, what have you. I'm not going to get into that as much as let's get ready now. Here it is, October 23rd. Now is the time to harness this trend that what the data supports in January and February. Now is the time to get ready. Not on December 15th, not on January 1st, not on January 15th. Now is the time.
That's interesting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about preparing now for the strongest hiring months ahead. I've been acquainted with the five seasons of the year, the four traditional seasons and construction season, but I've never heard of the hiring season. So what do you do to get ready for the hiring season?
Well, first get yourself in the mindset that don't wait to dust off your resume or LinkedIn profile. Now is the time. Update your resume. Add those new accomplishments, okay? Mm-hmm. Share your resume iteration with somebody else before someone in the hiring capacity sees it. You know, that iron sharpens iron. Someone's going to help you say, you know, maybe you should word it this way. Maybe this accomplishment should cite this. You know, we're in the midst of a global pandemic. And if someone helps us, someone on our bench of career advocates or what have you, if they mention to you that maybe you can strengthen this statement or this accomplishment, isn't it better to do in October, November versus when someone's reading it in late December in the hiring capacity?
I would say so. I mean, the last thing that you'd want is go, oh my goodness, I should have updated that statement, but it's too late. It's already in front of the hiring officer.
That's correct. So That would be one way. Make sure that your resume is ready to go, but vetted, reviewed by others that you know and trust. And when I say know and trust, the people that are going to give you honest feedback. And that's always going to be the case where you can get good input and put it into action early on. If you take these steps now in October and early November to get that ready.
So this conversation this weekend is not just for people who are already in business. This is also for the new job seekers as well.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And that's, you know, people that are going to be looking, people that are looking to make a change, people that may not even have known they're going to make a change. But because January and February happens with hiring, you may be contacted by somebody. And you should always be ready. Never get caught flat-footed.
And so what's another thing that we should be doing, another step we should be taking to get ready for this hiring season? I love saying that, the hiring season.
Knowing that everybody that hears me today has transferable skills, skills that you already have that transfer from one job to another, one industry to another, knowing what your transferable skills are, you should know them. You should be comfortable talking about them with others as well as people in the hiring capacity. And those transferable skills are communication, you know, the ability to write, to speak, to listen, every good team has good communicators, right, Freddie?
That's true.
Regardless of industry, right?
That is true. That's so paramount.
So there is a perfect transferable skill. And if you have it, I want you on my team, okay? Transferable skills, the leadership, the technology literacy, knowing, you know, how to work with software and data, that is transferable to one industry to another often, but we don't think that way. And their time management and organization, if someone is good at managing their time and organizing a company or a role, that transfers to a whole nother industry. No, the takeaway here is you have to know what your transferable skills are and be able to speak to them. And they're easily found online with many of the job search websites, but knowing what your transferable skills are now, not on January 15th, will set yourself ahead when that time comes where you're in front of someone that can make a hiring decision.
Interesting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about getting ready for the strong hiring months that are just ahead in January and February. And you mentioned earlier about being proficient with the STAR method. Let's revisit that.
Yeah. I've talked about the STAR method with you, Freddie, for about 7 years, and I don't care if you're 15 or 55. Knowing that the STAR method, which is widely accepted way to answer a behavioral-based interview question, is just simply talking about the situation that you're in, the tasks that you were tasked with, and the actions that you took to drive the results. That's the STAR. Being able to Google or even just going to RippleConnects.com with a link to a STAR method puts you ahead because now you start formulating your interview questions, interview answers, excuse me, ahead of time. Practicing that with somebody within your family or your network gets you battle tested, practiced for an interview, not on January 15th, but what about November 15th? Knowing that the STAR method exists and just simply reviewing it is going to set yourself up for the strong hiring months ahead. We don't, Freddie, interview that often in our lives. We have to practice anything that we become proficient at. Well, the takeaway here should be practice your STAR method. You develop your STAR stories that are incorporated into that method, and you'll be ahead of the game.
And you've also mentioned developing your own set of questions, the possible questions that you would ask no matter what the interview setting.
Absolutely. And I've always told my clients it's one thing to be able to answer questions that are asked of you, but it's also to be able to bring a high level of curiosity about that opportunity. You should be able to ask questions of the interview team to make sure that this is a good career move. We've talked about Lou Adler's book out there, The Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired. Often it involves knowing what needs to be accomplished with this position. So formulate a question that helps draw that out of the hiring team. Am I going to grow? What am I expected to accomplish? What are some of the challenges that I don't even know about? Wouldn't you want to know about that now and have those questions comfortably in your repertoire than trying to figure out the night before an interview in January and February printing something off the internet? You should be able to develop your own questions because it's your career and you want to make sure that's a good career move for you. And developing your own questions now and testing them and getting comfortable with them will set you ahead of everybody that doesn't practice their own interview questions in leading up to January and February.
There's a reason why people practice their technique often. So this is a good idea. And then finally, you talked about raising your awareness of Minnesota's hidden job market. How do you become aware of something that's hidden?
Well, you need to lean in and learn about more about that. The hidden job market is simply jobs that do not get published somewhere online. And they're hidden to you if you're only looking for jobs online. Sometimes jobs do not make it to the online job boards. And so if you're not searching and you're not having conversations with people, they're hidden to you, but they're really not hidden. You just weren't looking for them. So leaning in and raising your awareness that many jobs don't get published online will help you to know that in January and February, jobs get filled that way. They may not be a visual to you, but you have to have conversations with your the people in your network and your bench of career advocates to know the opportunities that are out there. And often, Freddie, I've talked, don't have a silent job search. Try to bring in your career advocates so they know what you're looking for. And that might be one step that helps you create and unearth opportunities in Minnesota's hidden job market. And that would be the takeaway, knowing that they're out there, but also taking steps now on October 23rd, start realizing how you're going to lean in on Minnesota's hidden job market.
Wow. Joe, we're out of time. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we turn candidates into contenders.
And our program continues right now.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities. Here's why companies, clubs, and organizations just like yours book Freddie Bell for keynote presentations.
I've been able to find my way through trying circumstances, and with each seemingly devastating situation, I've come back stronger and better. Why? Because of the techniques that embody courage, enthusiasm, and staying focused on the goal, that dream and that desire. What's your dream? What's holding you back?
If you've been struggling to get to the top, if you're searching for unprecedented breakthroughs, if you're looking for the light when the way seems dark, book Freddie Bell today.
The way to a successful life is using proven techniques that move you, that help you, and sustain you. It's time to get fired up. It's time to move up and to show up.
Freddie provides the keys in your keynote address. Call Freddie Bell now. 888-639-9738. That's 888-639-9738. Or visit freddiebell.com right now to book your engagement.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Health, Dr. Nathan Chomolo, who has really been involved in making sure that vaccines are equitably distributed and also information getting out to folks in our communities and across the state. And Dr. Chomolo, I see that there is yet another incentive that was just announced earlier this week by the governor to get the younger people across the state vaccinated.
Yeah, thanks, Freddie, again for having me on. And we've seen a really great turnout in response to previous incentive programs. And in fact, when we looked at our data from August, we saw between August and July, when there was no incentive program, an 85% increase in vaccination rates across the state. And so continuing that successful model, we're looking at trying to increase our rates amongst our 12 to 17-year-olds because they're currently the lowest age group across the state when it comes to vaccines. And as we all know, they're back in school. They're back in sports and other activities. And so we want to help protect them, protect our communities by encouraging vaccination. And so for folks getting their first dose between October 18th and November 9th, they're eligible for a $200 Visa gift card. And so you can get that through any of your regular places that you're getting shots, whether it's the provide your regular pharmacy, a community site. But then, you know, I think another exciting thing, too, is that for folks who've gotten their shot already, there's an opportunity to sign up and be registered for a drawing for a $100,000 Minnesota College Scholarship. And so all 12 through 17-year-olds who've completed their COVID-19 vaccine series at any time in this year will be eligible to enter to win this $100,000 Minnesota College Scholarship to any public or private college in Minnesota. And there's going to be five different drawings starting in the middle of November through into December to announce those winners. And so I think there's a lot of great opportunities to get folks in, get vaccinated, help protect our kids, keep them healthy in school, keep our schools open, and keep our communities healthy.
What do you say to those folks who are saying that incentives like this is not really an effective way to protect our citizens?
Well, I certainly there's a conversation to be had about the role of incentives. I think like I mentioned at the top, we've seen their effectiveness in getting more people vaccinated. And I think one of the things I've heard in talking to community and talking to our staff who are out working at these events in community is that the incentives are kind of picking up the slack for other parts of our society that aren't really helping support folks in making decisions for their health. And what we've heard is that incentives, even as little as $50, help folks, have the sense of reassurance that if they have a day of side effects and they miss a shift of work, they're still able to do things like put food on the table that week, right? And because not every place has sick pay or paid family leave, or folks just are, getting wages so low that if they miss a shift of work, that's really significant to their week to week lives. And so the incentives are really meant to, both help encourage, what we know is a healthy intervention in your health, but also help kind of fill some of those gaps where our society hasn't really done the best job helping our community out when it comes to getting our needs met.
We're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo, who is the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Health. There's been a lot in the news here lately, too, about booster shots, mixing and matching of boosters, and whether or not it was a mistake to just go with the one shot of the Johnson & Johnson. How can you help us to feel more comfortable with this, especially with those who have only received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Yeah, so there's a lot of conversation around boosters because last week the one of the advisory committees to the FDA looked specifically at Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And they recommended that folks who'd gotten a Moderna vaccine who are age 65 and older and those at high risk due to medical conditions or their jobs to receive a Moderna vaccine if it's been 6 months since they got that shot. And then they also looked at Johnson & Johnson, which we all know is the one-shot initial series. And they found that there was evidence to recommend a booster dose for Johnson & Johnson recipients age 18 and older, at least 2 months after they received their initial shot. And so, what the data shows is that, one shot is for Johnson & Johnson in particular, is really effective. But like other shots, like the Moderna, like the Pfizer, and like we see with other vaccines, boosters we talk about for things like tetanus and whooping cough, things like pneumonia, and even shingles is a booster shot of sorts. Like we've seen with other diseases, COVID is proving that we need some level of booster to our immune system. And so Johnson & Johnson also is eligible for that. I think that there's still questions remaining about the mix and match, whether or not folks would benefit from getting a second Johnson & Johnson shot versus a second Moderna and Pfizer shot, that they're still waiting to weigh in on that piece particularly. But for now, we definitely have gotten the approval for a second Johnson & Johnson shot for those who did get that first one.
How concerned are you, doctor, about this new wave that's just reported earlier in the week that's supposedly, or the early reports are saying, could even be more severe than the Delta variant?
Well, that's hard to know until we really get some population level data to see if any variant can, what we say, outcompete Delta. And so, for a new variant to be of particular concern, it has to be even more kind of transmissible or infectious than Delta to then, take over. And certainly that, remains a longstanding concern. I think we've talked a couple times about, one of the reasons is really important for us as a community to get vaccinated is because the more this virus spreads, the more it can replicate, the more we can get more variants, and then that could end up putting us all at risk, whether we've been vaccinated or not down the road. And so I think that's why boosters are, an important part of the way to keep ourselves protected and safe, but making sure everyone gets their first vaccine series to protect themselves against COVID is still the most important, both, for themselves and for our community.
What are you seeing right now, doctor, that's encouraging to you that maybe there are some signs that you see from your perspective that might indicate that we are turning the corner with COVID-19, if in fact we are? What do you see?
Well, I think I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I also don't want to paint an overly glossy picture.
Okay.
In that, we're still very much seeing a lot of spread in the community. We see our hospital capacity stretched. We see in healthcare, lots of my colleagues who've been working around the clock for the last 19 months are really feeling it. And so I think there are still a lot of, concerns about where we are with the pandemic. The overall case rates have kind of started to look like they might be plateauing, but they are still very high. And so, a plateau itself is not good news. We really need to see things start dipping. And that's really going to continue to require us to be vigilant, continue our masking, distancing, staying home if we're sick, testing if we have any symptoms, and then please, please get our first vaccine doses. Booster shots are a good way to protect yourself and your loved ones if you are eligible for them. And so recommend you follow the guidance from MDH about getting booster shots, that if you haven't gotten your first shot, that still is really important. We talk about the importance of community immunity. There are members in our community who can't get protection from the shots. And I think, unfortunately, we saw that with one of our own, General Powell, who had gotten his vaccine, but he was, he's an elder, so he's age 84. He had a form of cancer, which made him immunocompromised, meaning his immune system couldn't respond to the vaccine the same way. And so it wasn't a failure of the vaccine that, took him from us early. It was really a failure of our community immunity and being able to protect him by protecting everyone around him. And so I think that's really kind of drives home the importance of getting your first vaccination so that you can really build up our community immunity, protect those who the shots won't work for all the time, and continue to get out of this pandemic together.
That's Dr. Nathan Chomolo, the Senior Equity Advisor to the Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Health, and this is New Beginnings. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. So glad you're with us this weekend. And now we go to AARP Twin Cities, where we find the Associate Director for Community Engagement, Mr. Jay Hapala. We're talking about moving scams this weekend. But first, Jay, how can our audience reach out to you if they have questions about anything that you might be covering this weekend?
Sure. Well, here at AARP, we're working to help people protect their money and live healthy and really get the most out of life as they grow up and get older. So one program that we run is called our Fraud Watch Network. And we do this specifically because when we ask our members, what they always tell us is that they're very concerned about fraud and identity theft and all these scams. So folks can call us and make reports of scams or get some help if they've lost some money. And that phone number is 877-908-3360.
Wow. I know a lot of people have availed themselves to it. I know we get calls here on your behalf and we refer them your way, but it's so interesting that the high level of interest people have in scams, and you have yet another scam that we need to be concerned with, especially with the movement, with the real estate market, people finding more advantaged places to live, moving scams. That's the last place I would have thought, Jay Hapala.
Well, it's the first place for some of these scammers, and I wanted to talk about these kind of moving scams today because I just moved, and I had some interesting experiences during that whole ordeal. So first of all, the moving industry is probably different than it was the last time most people moved. And there, if you're looking online, you might run into what we call rogue operators. And these are these websites. They take reservations and deposits. Then they show up and pack up people's homes. They just might plain steal the belongings. They might hold that truck full of everything you own hostage and demand money. And then they disappear. And so I have heard some serious horror stories about these situations. I don't want any of your listeners to become the next star in one of those horror stories. So the number one piece of advice I have is that you deal with well-known licensed movers or haulers and not these postings online that advertise the deal of the day and it's too good to be true. I'll say one more thing. Movers have to be registered or licensed. And if you're moving over state lines, it's with the United States Department of Transportation here in Minnesota. You can check with MnDOT, our Department of Transportation, and they keep records on these movers. So make sure that your mover is licensed and has a record of who they are in the first place. And then when you're setting up your move, you want to get multiple in-home estimates, get everything in writing, just be cautious out there. So in my case, I got a pretty good deal. And they broke my record player, but that was the only thing. And there's more. I got more tips for people if you wanted to keep talking.
Oh, my gosh. So you did the number one thing. You saved the music. So that's, at least you were trying to anyway. But I'm really interested in these rogue operators. Were you confronted by any of this, these moving scams as you were trying to move into my own neighborhood, sir?
Yeah, we're neighbors now. Next time we do one of these interviews, we'll have to do it in your home studio.
There you go.
I knew, I listen to the radio. I hear the radio advertisements of these moving companies. So I was pretty confident that these were some legitimate, trustworthy people that we moved with.
So how are things now that you've unpacked? You're getting settled, I hope. How are things right now?
Yeah, well, one thing that's really overwhelming is hooking up all the internet. You know, these people that we bought the house from, they have this kind of a smart house. So, whether it's the TV and the cable and the internet, but over here, it's the garage door that I have to hook up. It's the doorbell, the thermostat. Even our oven in the kitchen has an app that I have to download on my phone. And I am overwhelmed with all these passwords and accounts that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I finally took my own advice and I downloaded a password manager app. So I got to remember the password to that app because that's where all of my passwords are encrypted and stored for myself. So I looked up an article on Consumer Reports and I found an app that I like. So now I put all my passwords in there. It will even generate really complex and lengthy passwords for me, so I don't have to try to remember them. They're all in the app.
What's the name of that password app again?
Well, I'm not going to give people a recommendation. I can't do that for AARP. But what I suggest is that you can look up Consumer Reports, and that's a trustworthy source of information. They compare different products and apps in this case, and folks can make a choice for themselves. But what you don't want to do is just go online and start searching for any old app. Instead, go to Consumer Reports for some advice.
Do you have a final thought for us this weekend, Jay Hapala, who's moved into the new community?
Yeah. So last thing I'll share, I had to change my mailing address, too. So, that, you know, this is a big, big stressful time. And that con artists capitalize on people when they're moving because people are stressed out. And that kind of short circuits our better judgment. But first of all, when you have to change your address, you can go down to the local post office or make sure you're on the right website, and that's USPS.com. And there are imposters out there, just like I was saying about the password app. So make sure you're on the right website if you're going to do it online. I had to pay $1.05 to do it to the real post office because they charge you to do it online. But when people do change their address, the marketers and scammers can buy that information. So you want to go to the Direct Marketers Association to stop the unwanted mail. So you can choose what kind of advertisements and catalogs you want to receive and the ones you don't. And then it tips you off because if you start getting all these advertisements and you were supposed to have blocked them, then it tips you off. It might be a scam.
Interesting.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
You can get what's called informed delivery from the post office at USPS.com, and it'll show you a picture of your mail every day. So when it arrives in your mailbox, you know if something's missing.
That's really high tech. That's really high tech.
We're living in the future.
The Fraud Watch Network helpline is 877-908-3360. Jay Hapala, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Mr. Bell. See you next time.
Okay. Bye, neighbor.
Bye-bye.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and it's time to talk now about your money on New Beginnings. Add burdensome credit card debt to the list of woes the pandemic has made worse for older Americans. New surveys confirm what your letters have already told you. Many of you are struggling to make monthly payments while balances grow. And even those of you who aren't struggling are taking on more of this debt and paying more interest than you were ever before. So burn debt we must. If you have more than $5,000 at current rates of just over 16%, you're paying about $67 a month in interest. That's a drain on your money, and it gets in the way of everything else you want to do, including sleeping soundly. I'll assume you've already dug deep for cash to pay down the balance, held a yard sale, taken on a side gig, sold a car, or used part of a tax refund or a stimulus check. And that's good, since every extra dollar you pay beyond the minimum is a dollar on which you won't be paying interest. But if you're still in trouble, you haven't run out of options. Lenders understand that household budgets have been squished, and there are signs of both increased forbearance and new card offers that can make it easier for you to get back to zero. Before I get to the options you might have, I'll make one important point. Don't miss or delay minimum payments while you plot your strategy, because doing so will lower your credit score and take some of the best solutions off the table. With that said, here are four distinct ways to make it work. Number one, transfer your balances. Zero interest rate introductory balance transfer offers on cards were scarce in 2020, but more are coming now, says Sarah Rathner at the personal finance website NerdWallet. These cards typically charge as much as 5% of the transferred balance up front, so this works only if you get an introductory deal long enough for you to make a big dent in your balance. This spring, Rathner found the U.S. Bank Visa Platinum card was offering one of the longest no-interest periods, 20 months. The Citi Double Cash card was offering 18 months at zero interest. Number two, ask for a break. COVID has made card issuers more flexible, and since the beginning of 2020, roughly 83% of people who asked for a rate cut got it. That according to LendingTree reports, many issuers have special programs for struggling cardholders, says Bruce McClary of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. He says to tell your lender that the coronavirus affected your finances and that you intend to keep up your payments and reduce your balances, but that more affordable terms would help. Your insurer might temporarily lower your interest rate for 6 to 9 months, he says. And also number three, refinance with a personal loan. Ask your credit union or bank if you can roll your credit card debt into one lower interest loan. The average rate on a 2-year personal loan from a bank was under 10% at the end of 2020, that according to the Federal Reserve. That may be a better deal than you can get from your card issuer. Don't borrow against your home or your car to pay off your debt. That creates a new risk of losing your possessions. And don't grab at debt consolidation loans from companies you've never heard of. Chances are they're too high and they'll load you up with new fees, or worse, they could scam you. We hear a lot about the scams on New Beginnings. And finally, get a workout plan. One final way to get out of debt and to create a payoff plan via a nonprofit credit counseling agency, which you can find through nfcc.org. At no cost, a counselor will go over your income and debts and determine what's workable. Then the counselor will negotiate with your lenders, typically getting their buy-in on a payment plan that will lower your interest and monthly payments and maybe forgive some of that debt. If you reject the plan, you're no worse off than you were before. Accept it, and you'll start making one monthly payment to the counseling service, which will in turn pay the insurers. You're likely to pay a small fee and give up the cards included in the plan, but over time, you'll be able to repay debt and rebuild credit. More importantly, you'll be able to shed the burden and the worry of your debt. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings, and our program continues right now. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. And if you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
With each brushstroke on a canvas, an artist creates beauty and form from imagination. That's our point of focus. Through their imagination, An artist's skill captures what they see in the world in their mind's eye. These depictions can stir the soul. With your power of imagination, you can open a world of possibilities. By using your imagination, you can turn what seems impossible into the possible. By being resourceful or creative at work or at home, you can create what you imagine. Your imagination allows you to soar beyond appearances. You can visualize what is possible and bring that into visibility. Your enthusiasm actually expands as you apply your imagination. Use your creative power to explore a new dimension of living through imagination. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
It's a feeling of the heart when we in this life face times of troubled waters, not only for ourselves, but for those for whom we care. I just received word this morning that one of my friends back in Missouri who attended my church there and is now in a care facility has been moved to isolation, for they fear she has the coronavirus. And so my heart goes out to her in prayer. There's nothing that I can physically do, but I can stand and witness to her ongoing life and power as she moves through this process. Another friend close to my heart, back in the Northeast, like so many in this country, overnight lost income. Has nothing coming in as business shut down, and he's in a service industry that simply cannot function under the current social distancing policy. And again, I found I had a choice. I could hold him in thoughts of worry and despair, or I could choose to hold him in a prayer that sees a higher power that will in time lead him into prosperity. There's an old 19th century hymn. Actually, it was written about the same time that Unity got its start, in 1889. Its lyric begins, "Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Throw out the lifeline. Someone's drifting away." It's a call to altruism or the willingness to help others in dangerous situations. Our world today is heroic with first responders and caregivers who risk their own safety in order to save those in danger of COVID-19. No doubt they are throwing out the lifeline to other lines of help and power. However, my topic today concerns those invisible, silent lifelines we can throw out to those in trouble. Traditionally, such lifelines are called prayer. But before some of you may envision folded hands, closed eyes, a bowing or kneeling posture. I want to turn our attention to a contemporary well-known chant. Our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers. Listen to what you're saying. Last week, if you joined us for service, our speaker, Kelly von Heidenkopf, asked us to consider our prayers very simply. Are our prayers a prayer of no or a prayer of yes? And so I'd like to develop this idea today. Whether you call it prayer or meditation or a spiritual practice or simply the thoughts you are holding in mind hour by hour, day by day, consider. Are they prayers of yes and affirmation and hope and power? Or are they prayers of no? Now, prayers of no can be helpful when they are seen as a prayer of letting go. No, I will no longer hold to that idea. But the more powerful prayer is the affirmative thought that sees the power of life within us, that sees a power that can sustain us and lead us through these experiences that we call the human life. So today we will not be exploring methods of prayer, nor the history of prayer within religious traditions. Instead, I'd like us to consider the potential and the effects of a consciousness and consistent pattern of thought that Unity calls prayer. In the beginning of our Unity tradition, I believe there was a balanced presentation of the practice of prayer for one's own inner development and as a blessing that we extended to others. One of our longest activities in the Unity movement is our international prayer ministry known as Silent Unity. It began in 1890 as an invitation to people to come together and hold a focused thought. The thought was published by Unity's monthly magazine, Unity, so everybody knew what the focus would be. And people who were willing gathered at noon and again at 9 p.m. each day to collectively join in that thought of silent unity, that oneness found in prayer. The thought, later described as a prayer of affirmation or release, was a benefit to the individual and to lift the collective consciousness of humanity. In other words, it was a thought that linked the individual and the collective with a truth principle, an idea that grasped the eternal or lasting qualities of life. I hope you notice the distinction of prayer for the individual and the community in our very order of service every Sunday. We join in a community prayer that focuses on a collective affirmative idea for our church, our community, our nation, our world. And I will often, in contrast, at the end of a lesson, invite you into a visualization or inner prayer that is for your own development, for your own inner imagination of how your life is evolving. So we have a time that we pray together for the good of all, and then we have a time that we pray individually for our own understanding, peace, healing, and development.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.